You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen and good morning. Man, it is great to be together. I love worshiping with all of you, starting my week this way. And if we've never gotten a chance to meet before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And as you can probably tell behind me, we are in the middle of a series that is emphasizing the cross every Sunday as we approach Easter. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." So from now until Easter, we are preaching about the cross. You know, last Sunday, I told the whole story of the cross. We started in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we ended with the last spoken words of Christ when he said, "It is finished." And then I thought it was very beautiful. We all took communion together, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus together. But today, we're going a bit further back. We're gonna find ourselves in the New Testament this morning, the scriptures before Jesus, because the story of God has always included the sacrifice. The story of God has always included the cross for generations and generations. I will admit though to everyone this morning and everyone tuning in online that I am really glad that God placed me on earth in 21st century America and not like 1400 BC Israel. Because my duties as a pastor today look very different than the priests that you will read about in the Old Testament. They had very different life than I have today. I don't think I would have made it, actually. I was just doing a reflective exercise this past week. I don't think I would have made it. I like my bed a lot. I don't want it stuffed with straw and hay. I like air conditioning. In my house, I'm sure your house is a lot like mine, there is a switch that I can turn on and electricity magically powers. I even have a switch that turns a fireplace on and off. Can you imagine a priest from 1400 BC having a switch that turns a fire on? They would be amazed. If they came into our church and they saw the lobby and the couches and, you know, like appropriate sewage, like in the bathrooms, just going away to who knows where, just taking care of all of the waste, the priests would be amazed. And then better than all of those things, the one thing that I've never had to do, sacrifice a goat. Never had to do that. You won't see that here. And I'm so thankful that we're past the animal sacrifice thing. That would be that'd be really hard for me to hang with that. They had to sacrifice a large amount of animals. And like I said, I'm so glad that I was born when I was born. The Old Testament sacrificial system, it can seem really strange at first. The first time I read the Old Testament, I had so many questions when I was working my way through the Old Testament. Now, with some training and having read it a few times over my life, I'm beginning to see how the Old and the New Testament kind of gel together, how the Old Testament points us to this future promise of Jesus Christ. I'm loving now how it's helping me understand Christ crucified. And that's what we're going to do today. We're gonna look at an Old Testament passage, and then we're gonna kind of hold it up against a New Testament passage so that we can see how one points to the other, how the old sacrificial system actually pointed to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you're here, you're with us this morning, and maybe you realize throughout our conversation this morning that you've never started a life with God. You've never actually pledged your allegiance to Jesus and surrendered your life to him, but over the course of the morning, you're ready to do that today. I just want you to know that this is a great church for you, and every Sunday that we gather, we invite people to make first-time commitments to following Jesus, and if that's you, we'll create space to do that very thing later in our service this morning. But for now, we're gonna talk about one of the most important days in the Old Testament. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. It's found in the book of Leviticus, which is the third book of the Bible. And the Day of Atonement, which is now called Yom Kippur, was and still is one of the most important days in all of Israel. Atonement simply means to cover, but when you really dig into the Old Testament, when you really study the scriptures, you realize that it's that biblically its definition is a bit more robust. It does mean to cover, but it also kind of points us to reuniting and forgiveness, even paying a ransom. And so that's why when Jesus came along and in Mark 10:45, he was talking to people about his death, he would say, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom, which simply meant atonement for many. When Jesus said that, it would have triggered all kinds of historical and theological thoughts for everyone who was listening. It would have reminded them of our passage this morning in Leviticus chapter 16 when you first read about the Day of Atonement. We're gonna read the passage together. I do wanna give you a heads up, though. There's a lot of different things going on in this passage. There's a high priest named Aaron, and he's got two goats in this passage. One is to be sacrificed, and the other is to be set free. And then he would cast lots, which I kind of imagine as an old Israelite priest kind of throwing dice to decide which goat will be sacrificed, which one will be set free. There's a bit of blood involved as it goes with sacrifice. And it doesn't make a ton of sense unless you see the whole big picture. So hang with me as we look at this together. We're gonna read Leviticus 16, starting in verse 7, it says, then he must take the two male goats, talking about Aaron the priest, and present them to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. He is to cast sacred lots to determine which goat will be reserved as an offering to the Lord and which will carry the sins of the people to the wilderness of Azazel. Aaron will then present as a sin offering the goat chosen by lot for the Lord. The other goat, the scapegoat, chosen by lot will be sent away, will be kept alive standing before the Lord. When it is sent away to Azazel in the wilderness, the people will be purified and made right with the Lord. Now, we're just gonna move forward to 15 and 21 because I want you to see what's gonna happen to those goats. Verse 15, then Aaron must slaughter the first goat as a sin offering for the people and carry its blood behind the inner curtain. There he will sprinkle the goat's blood over the atonement cover and in front of it, just as he did with the bull's blood. Now the second goat, verse 21, and he will lay both his hands, and he will lay both his hands on the goat's head and confess over it all the wickedness, rebellion, and the sins of the people of Israel. In this way, he will transfer the people's sins to the head of the goat. Then a man specifically chosen for the task will drive the goat into the wilderness. It will carry all the people's sins upon itself into a desolate land. This is the Day of Atonement, and once again, I am so thankful that I live in 21st century as a pastor today. Just a quick summary so we're all on the same page. I know I read a lot, and this is the first time hearing it. It might be hard to keep it all together. The high priest has two goats. One would be sacrificed, and he would use that blood as a sin offering to atone or to cover the sins of the people. The second goat, though, is kept alive. The priest would place both his hands on the goat's head. And he would begin to confess all the sins of the people. I imagine that probably took a long time. There were a lot of Israelites in the day. There were probably a lot of sins, a lot of rebellious hearts. But it would symbolically transfer the sins onto the goat, which would then be sent away to be removed from the people. So you got one goat that covers and atones and the other goat removes the sin from the people. But of course, these are just symbols. They're just symbols. And again, it was a completely different day. I mean, 1400 BC was a really long time ago and God was interacting with his people according to the time and space when they lived. It wouldn't make sense for us today to do this. Especially if you're hearing this for the very first time, you might have a lot of questions like, why is there so much blood? What's with the blood? Why sacrifice an animal in the first place? And these are not bad questions. These are good questions. I can't go into every single detail this morning. We just don't have time. But it's important to understand that in ancient Israel, blood equaled life. Blood equaled life. And from the earliest days, God's people knew that their best intentions wasn't going to be enough to eradicate their sin. That they would need a sacrifice. That they would need blood, again, equaling life from an animal that could stand in their place, their life for ours. their sins. They needed to be covered and removed, which actually makes a lot more sense once you begin to have a picture on how holy God is. It makes more sense once you understand the holiness of God. You realize that God is holy, and sin, which makes us holy, that cannot coexist with a holy God. God is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. But all of us humans, we've fallen short. We've made mistakes. And the Bible talks about sin in a similar way that we might talk about disease today, that it kind of gets inside of you. It infects you. It grows over time. It multiplies, even becomes part of who you are. This is a word picture that might help you understand it a little bit. It will only apply to, I don't know, maybe half the room, but I think you'll understand it. Sin in the human soul is a lot like coffee and creamer. Some of you drink your coffee with creamer. I don't know why you do that. May God bless you in your endeavors of drinking coffee. But some of you came in, I'm not trying to throw shade at the way you drink coffee. It's a word picture, okay? Some of you came in this morning, you stopped by our little coffee kiosk, and you took the wonderful taste of that Bindle roasted bean, and you changed it when you put creamer inside of it. This is kind of similar to the way that the Bible would talk about sin. See, I don't know why you used creamer in your coffee, but you did. And once the creamer is in the coffee, you can't take it out. You can't take it out. There's now no just black coffee drink. It has been infected by that creamer. And you can try all you want to dilute it and make it stronger and stronger and stronger, but there's still residue of that creamer inside. You actually can't just dilute it. You need a whole new cup. You need a whole new cup. Now, this is not, it's a little silly, but it's not a bad illustration of the way the Bible would talk about sin in our human heart. We can't just get a little bit better of a life. We need a whole new life. We need a whole new life. We need forgiveness and mercy. We need to be healed and cleansed. We can't just dilute our life with more good things than bad things. We need a whole new life, out with the old and in with the new. And that's where these goats and eventually Jesus Christ on the cross comes in. The first sacrificial goat allowed people to approach God and receive his mercy. The second goat then, called the scapegoat, not the escape goat, which my kids always lovingly called when they were younger, but it's the scapegoat. It has all the sins of the people transferred onto it, and then it's driven away, symbolically creating distance or removing the effects of sin from the person and the entire camp of the Israelites. It's a fascinating little picture. Now, just to give you a window into kind of the mind of a pastor, or at least the mind of this pastor, this is a late night thought that I'm gonna welcome you into, a window into my mind. I was studying this passage, I was preparing for today, and I couldn't help but start to wonder what would happen if that goat decided, I wanna turn back around and go back to the Israelites. Then what? Then what would happen? I mean, have you ever seen a goat? You ever been around a goat? They're gonna do whatever they want. They're creatures. Let's follow the grass. And I know there was a dude that was like specially chosen to drive that goat out into the wilderness, but you know what? That guy's got a home too. Eventually he's gonna turn around and go home. Then what happens? That goat might start to think to itself, you know what? It's kind of lonely out here. They fed me back home. They cared for me back home. I think I'm just gonna turn right back around and head on back to the Israelites. Then what? Well, I have an answer for you. Turns out this happened a few times to the Israelites and they did not like it. It was bad juju, man, to have that goat that had all the sins turn back, come around to the camp. It's not good. It's considered a really bad omen. And so the Israelites would then grab that goat and throw it off a cliff. Surprise you? Surprised me when I found that out. They hated that. They didn't want that. It didn't look good. It didn't feel good. All the sins were placed on that goat and sent away to have that goat turn back around. It was not a good sign. Now, I know I'm explaining a lot this morning. I know there's a lot of instruction here around Leviticus 16, but I hope you can begin to see the symbolic nature of all of this. It's all a foreshadow of the cross. It's all a foretaste of what Jesus accomplished when he was crucified on the cross. Christ came because we needed something more complete. We needed something new. There was a problem even with the Old Testament system. Mainly, it's the fact that the Israelites had to do this every year, over and over and over again. The old sacrificial system only pointed to Jesus, but it couldn't accomplish what Jesus accomplished. Nobody was being transformed from the inside out. It was just a covering. The sin was being transferred to a goat, but it was only symbolic. The junk of our lives never actually left people's hearts. They were still bound to all of their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. The Day of Atonement was meant to be a picture of the future work to be done on the cross. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, who willingly paid a ransom for each and every one of us. He is the complete and perfect sacrifice. It's through the cross that we are no longer just covered, but we are healed. We're no longer just covered, we're given a new heart and a new life, what the scripture refers to as being born again. Our sins don't just go away for a little while, making us need another sacrifice again next year, but through Christ crucified, we can be totally separated from our sin, as far as the east is from the west, because we've been created anew in Christ Jesus. The Day of Atonement pointed to Jesus. It pointed to Jesus. I told you we were going to read an Old Testament and a New Testament passage. So let's look at Hebrews 10 now. Hebrews 10 is in the New Testament, and it kind of puts a bow on top of all of this, really helping explain what we just read through the light and life of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 verse 1 says this: "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer.'" A body to offer. Now verse 19, listen to the impact of the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 19, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Again, really interesting language, right? Especially if you've never heard it before. And this passage in Hebrews 10, it's one of the reasons why some old hymns or even current worship songs today will sing about the blood of Jesus. And if you're not aware of this whole story, it can sound really strange to be washed in the blood of Jesus or have the blood of Christ sprinkled. I mean, no one would really do that. Sprinkling blood on anything doesn't make it clean. Those are the hardest stains to get out. But remember in Leviticus, when they would sprinkle the blood of the goat, remember that in ancient Israel, blood meant life and sacrifice. This is pulling on all of that language and showing the people Jesus is the fulfillment of the old. He accomplished what no animal sacrifice could do. He offered his body as a pleasing and perfect sacrifice. And because of the cross, one sacrifice for mankind, for all time, for all sin, and it never has to be repeated again. We needed something stronger. And without Jesus, The stain of my sin just clings to my life and clings to my heart. But through Christ, my old life has gone. My current struggles, my even future mistakes have been paid in full. You know, as I was praying about this message, I was just sitting in my dining room table, just praying and reflecting on this passage. I had one nagging question that kept coming up over and over and over again. And I have faith that it's from God for you this morning. The question is simply, are you living like an Old Testament believer? Are you living like an Old Testament believer? Hebrews 10 says it clearly. The sacrifice of Jesus means that your guilt can disappear because you have received a perfect cleansing. You can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Christ. You can, without shame, embrace the presence of God and his unending compassion because Christ has set you free. But I'm afraid many of us remind God of our sins over and over and over again. We remind him of all of our mistakes instead of embracing the newness we can find in Christ. And if that's you, you might be living like an Old Testament believer, struggling with guilt and shame year after year, trying to find freedom from something that Jesus died for 2,000 years ago. He's already forgiven you. And he's already created a way for you to be set free. You can be a follower of Christ today, but still live like an Old Testament believer. Is that you? I mean, imagine with me a life with no guilt, no shame, no nagging voice reminding you of your mistakes or how your old life will always get in the way of a beautiful future with Christ and his people. So when you really study the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you realize that is your promise, to be completely set free, to not have to go back year after year to find another sacrifice to cover for your sins. Once and for all, Christ died for you to set you free. Now we can boldly enter into his presence, embracing his unending love instead of reminding him of all the mistakes that we've made. God simply isn't in the business of scapegoat sacrifices anymore. Because of Jesus, we can know that once and for all, our sins have been transferred onto Christ, the one who was crucified. Because each and every one of us, we needed something stronger. We needed something more powerful than the old system, and it's found on the cross. It's found through the sacrifice of Jesus, the one who fulfills the Day of Atonement. Let's pray together.